Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be able to be out again, sun shining, and to have the opportunity of sharing with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know our desire. We have explained that many times here, standing on the village green. It is that each one within the sound of our voice, upon hearing the gospel, may come to know Christ as their Savior. That's the burden of our souls. It's the burden of the gospel message. The Lord Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, some people might take umbrage at me suggesting that they're lost. But just let me remind you that those words spoken by Christ were spoken to the only nation on the face of the earth that had the Word of God, the Jewish nation. And yet to the Jewish nation, to whom had been revealed the truth of God, the way of salvation, Christ said, I have come to seek and to save among you that which is lost. Men and women, we can have all sorts of relationships with religion, even true religion, and yet be lost. So, we're here tonight just to share the gospel. I love the preaching, but instead, the preacher will be the young man who has been ministering in our services today, Mr. Moffat from Ballymoney, who has just completed his 4 years in Whitfield College of the Bible, and he awaits ordination and the beginning of his pastoral ministry as God leads him to a congregation. We're competing a little with noise tonight, noise that we shouldn't be hearing on the Lord's Day, but sadly, truths such as that have long been forgotten. But we will share with you the gospel. We're going to sing a hymn. We always do that. This is a lovely hymn. In fact, we sung it in our church service this morning. There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. There's 3 verses in the chorus, and we're going to sing all of the hymn. Everyone.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching through the farthest away, saving, keeping, loving, was upon me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful?
Mr. Moffat is going to bring to us a brief message from the Word of God. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this an opportunity of obeying Thee, Lord. For Thou hast said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, that's what we seek to do this evening. And I pray that, O God, it may please Thee, this effort that we're making. And that as the word is preached by our young brother, the Spirit of God will move. And from heart to heart and home to home, God will strive with men and women and boys and girls. Lord Jesus, have mercy on Kinskeery. Have mercy, we pray. We're asking this all in our Savior's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Now Mr. Moffat is going to come and share with us the Word of God, and then at the end he will close our little service. Of course, let me give you the invitation that we always do. You know our service is up there on the hill. And again, you know who it is that's speaking at the moment. If you ever want to contact us, well, you know where to find us. Oh, give thought to eternal things. God bless you.
I want to read with you this evening just one verse from Holy Scripture. It is Isaiah chapter 45 and the verse number 22. Isaiah 45, 22 says this. And the Lord speaking here. This is the Lord God of heaven speaking to you tonight. And what is he saying to you? Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Let's hear that again. Look unto me, and be ye saved. This verse has been very, very important, certainly within church history. In 1850, a mother came to her young son, and she told her son that due to the inclement weather, he should make his own way to church that Sunday morning. The young boy set out without his mother and father, and he began to make his way to the Lord's house in the midst of heavy snowfall. You know, as the boy made his way closer and closer to the city centre, he discovered very quickly that the snow was coming down in such rapidity and was laying so heavily upon the ground that he had to find shelter. The boy needed to find shelter lest he freeze, lest he catch his cold or pneumonia. And so the young boy, he darted down an alleyway. And he began to look for just somewhere, anywhere, that he could turn into for a short time to find shelter from the snow. You know, as he made his way down an alleyway, we're told, history tells us, that he heard the familiar sound of the church organ. As he followed the noise of that church organ, playing those beautiful hymns, he found himself in a primitive Methodist church. The boy slipped into the back pew. He didn't want to raise attention to himself, and so he simply sat and watched as the church service took place. As that service went on, it was discovered very quickly that the minister, the pastor, the preacher, who was supposed to be there that day, had not made it to the church. See, he too had been caught up in the snow. And so one of the members of the congregation was asked to come and to bring a message from the Word of God. This man was unprepared. This man had not studied for a sermon. He knew not what he was going to tell this congregation. But he opened up his Bible and he turned to the words of Isaiah 45 and verse 22. And he did something most peculiar. He simply just repeated the verse. He preached those words, look unto me, and be ye saved. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Look unto me, and be ye saved. You know, you may say unto me, well, surely that wouldn't profit very much. Surely if he just repeated the same verse for half an hour, that would do nothing. But men and women, let me remind you of that young boy who sat at the back of that church. That young boy, through the repetition of this verse, did look unto Jesus Christ. And this young man found that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to save him from every sin. That young man was C.H. Spurgeon, one of the most prolific preachers that we have seen in certainly in the past 200 years. And let me remind you, 200 years have passed since the Lord spoke to Spurgeon through the words of Isaiah 45:22. But let me tell you this, the same God who spoke to Spurgeon is still speaking today. The same God who saved Spurgeon is still saving today. And this verse, which points us to salvation, is still as profitable to your soul as was profitable to Spurgeon 200 years ago. Christ is speaking tonight. I'm sure you've heard many preachers, and they have perhaps stood before you and they've told you to be saved. Oh, beloved, this is no ordinary preacher standing before you tonight. This is the Lord speaking in Isaiah 45:22. And he gives you that great gospel call, look unto me and be ye saved. The question is posed, isn't it? Well, what do we need to be saved from? Well, the reality is the Bible tells us that each and every one of us are lost in sin. And the Bible makes it clear that because of our sins, we are underneath the wrath of God. We have incurred God's holy displeasure. And the Bible is clear that the wages of sin, the payment of sin, the result of sin, is death. It is punishment. It is the wrath of God poured out eternally upon you and me in hell. But beloved, there is salvation tonight. The Lord says to you that you don't have to perish in that awful place of torment known as hell. But you can look unto Him and be saved. I want to notice a few things about this verse. I want you to notice firstly the salvation of the verse. You see, I want us to notice a few things about the salvation of which the Lord speaks. And the first thing I want you to say is this. The Lord's salvation is free. The Lord does not say to you tonight that there's any stipulation or payment to be made before He would save you. What does He say in that verse? He says, look unto me and be ye saved. You know, there are churches in our land, and we know this, that say that you have to pay into the church to be saved. There's places that say you have to be baptized in order to be saved. There's places that say you have to have some sort of cross or picture of a saint in your home to be saved. Men and women, let me tell you, the way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. And you need only look unto Him tonight, and He offers you His salvation freely in the gospel. You know, when our Lord was crucified, we read about a thief that was nailed beside Him. That thief, his hands were nailed. He could do nothing for the Lord. His feet were nailed. He could go nowhere for the Lord. That man was utterly helpless. He could do nothing to save himself. But he looked to Christ. And there he found, as he looked to the Lord, that the Lord's salvation is free. And it's free to you tonight if you would but come and receive Him as your Savior. He offers you His eternal salvation freely tonight. You know, the Lord's salvation is also freeing, as well as free. The Bible describes you and your estate of sin as being in bondage. And just as a prisoner there in his jail cell can do nothing to free himself from his internment, so you too in your sin can do nothing to save yourself. You're utterly helpless. You're at the mercy of God. But yet the Lord promises you that His salvation is able to free you from the bonds of sin. It's able to free you from the wrath of God. It's able to free you from the lost estate of sin. And it's able to save your never dying soul. It's able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. The Lord can save you tonight from your sin. I ask you, are you struggling with some habit? Some habit that you say, I could not give this up. Let me tell you, the Lord is able to overcome every sin. He's able to give you grace to overcome your sin. The Lord is able to free you tonight. Are you going to come to Him? The Lord's salvation is free. It's also freeing. It's also forever. The Lord says He will love His people with an everlasting love. That once He has saved you, He will save you for time and eternity. He will never let you go. He promises no man shall be able to pluck you out of the hand of Jesus Christ. What a promise He gives to you tonight, sinner. That if you were to come to Jesus Christ, He will keep you. He will hold you fast. He will preserve you from this day to the day of your death. And He will make you ready to meet with Him in eternity. You can be assured of heaven tonight through the Lord's salvation. But how are we to lay hold upon this wonderful salvation. Well, now that we've seen the salvation, I want you to see the specifics. You see, the Lord says you're to look unto Him. Look unto me and be ye saved, saith the Lord. Now that looking unto Christ means two things. Firstly, it means looking unto Christ means turning. In the original Hebrew in which this verse was written, this verse could be read, "Turn to me and be ye saved." You see, if we are to come to Christ tonight, if we are to receive His mercy, then we must leave behind our sin. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must turn from the life and the career of sin that we're engaged in now. We must turn to Jesus Christ. Beloved, our sin cannot be permitted to enter heaven. We've just been preaching in the church about repentance. And I said these words, we cannot enter heaven's glory with a hand on our sin. We must leave our sin at the door. We must turn from our sin, turn from our wicked ways, and trust in Christ as the Savior. And that's the second aspect. Looking to Christ means turning, but looking to Christ also means trusting. The Bible calls these doctrines faith and repentance. I've called them trusting and turning in order to help you to understand. You see, if we are to look to Christ, the things we are to trust Him. You know, how are we to look to Christ? We can't see the form of God. We can't see the physical presence as you can see me standing here tonight. And so how are we to look to Christ? Well, beloved, let me tell you this. Even if Christ was to stand here on this screen and you were to look to Him, you would still not be saved. You see, Judas Iscariot, that disciple that betrayed the Lord, he saw Christ, but he wasn't saved. Pilate looked at Christ, and he wasn't saved. You see, beloved, looking to Christ is not looking to a form or an image or a sculpture or a picture of Christ. Looking to Christ is searching Him in the Gospel, searching Him where He is found in His Word, seeing Christ, the scriptural Christ, the biblical Christ, and placing our faith and trust in Him as the Lamb of God who was able to take away the sins of the world. Will you look to Him tonight? Will you turn from your sin? Will you trust your life, your soul, your entire eternity into the hands of Jesus Christ? He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He laid down His life's blood, the Bible tells us, as a ransom for the many. Just as one who is held prisoner and his captor demands a ransom, the Lord paid the ransom price for you. He paid it to deliver you from your estate of sin. Will you look to Him tonight in faith? Will you trust Him? Will you turn from your sin? You know, it's once I've been preaching about salvation, I suppose it's easy for you to sit in your homes and to say, well, this salvation sounds so wonderful. You've told me it's free. You've told me it's freeing. You've told me it's forever. You've told me it's mine if I trust and turn. But why would the Lord save me? Does this salvation really extend to me? Can I, in my home, this very hour, be saved? Am I in the scope of Christ's mercy? Well, let me read with you the verse again. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The gospel message goes forward to all the ends of the earth. The Lord offers you tonight salvation. He has set us here in Tuskegee. He has set this church on the village green. He has set this preacher here today to tell you that the Lord offers you mercy and salvation in the gospel tonight. He says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. You know, there's two applications of all the ends of the earth. That's this. God's mercy extends to a world of sinners. Wherever you go, whether you go to Africa, whether you go to Spain, Australia, the Americas, wherever it is you go to, one thing is clear. Each and every man, woman, and child you meet is a sinner before Almighty God. But here the Lord promises that His mercy, and that His grace, and that His gospel, and that His offer of salvation goes forward to all the ends of the earth. Are you in the earth? Are you an inhabitant of planet earth? Then the Lord's offer of salvation goes forward to you tonight. This is a message for you. This is a message for you to lay hold upon. The Lord offers you mercy tonight. You know, God's mercy extends to the world of sinners. His mercy also extends to the worst of sinners. Spurgeon, that young man who was saved as a result of preaching this text, said that those words, all the ends of the earth, mean those who are farthest away from Christ. I don't know you. I don't know who I'm preaching to here this evening. But perhaps you think of your own life, your own testimony, your own experience on this earth, and you're saying, well, you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know the sins I've committed. You don't know the wrong and the evil things that I've done. Jesus Christ would never save me. Let me remind you what our text says. He's willing. He has set forth His offer of salvation to all the ends of the earth. That means you. I want to tell you of two people the Lord saved. The first was Manasseh. Manasseh. He was one of the kings of Judah. He was an evil king. He walked in the ways of the evil king Ahab. The Bible tells us that he filled Jerusalem from one end to the other with the blood of the prophets. It's believed that the very prophet who wrote these words, Isaiah, was put to death by this wicked king Manasseh. You would surely say to me, Manasseh, who killed so many, Manasseh, who was so evil, Manasseh, who committed so many sins before God's face, could never be saved. But let me tell you, Manasseh put his faith and trust in Christ. And he repented of his sin. And he saw the reality of this verse. He looked unto Christ. And Manasseh was saved, praise God. We read of Paul. Paul was a sinner. Paul was a man who used to hail upon the church of Christ. He used to enter the homes of men and women. He used to put them into prison. We read in the book of Acts that when the time came, he would cast his vote to have them murdered. Put to death. He persecuted Christians. He put Christians to the sword. But let me tell you this. Paul found mercy in Christ. Paul looked unto the Lord Jesus Christ and he found that the Lord was willing and was ready to forgive every sin through his own precious shed blood. If the Lord was willing to save that wicked king Manasseh, if the Lord was willing to save that evil religious persecutor Paul, He's able to save you. He's able to save you. And so we must answer the command of God. How will you respond to His gospel call tonight? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I ask you tonight, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you look unto Him tonight? Will you trust Him as your Redeemer? Will you trust Him as your Savior? Will you pray unto Him, Lord, bear away my sin? Will you be found in Jesus Christ tonight? His blood is able to cover every stain. Or will you once again reject the gospel of Christ? Will you once again put off salvation? Beloved, we've just been thinking in the church about God's Spirit. And how God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Beloved, don't put off the matter of salvation. Come to Christ now. We would love to speak to you. We would love to counsel you. We would love to have these conversations where we point you one-on-one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come out of your homes. Oh, come and speak to us. Come and see about your never-dying soul. Put your faith and trust in Christ. But do not reject the gospel message. Do not put it to one side. Come today. And look unto Him, and be ye saved. Mr. Foster has already indicated that you know where we are. You know where the church is on the hill. If you have any questions, if you have a burning desire to get right with Christ, even come now as we begin to close this meeting. Come right now, speak to us. We'd be glad to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't tarry for one second or one moment. Come to Him now. I want to pray with you as we close this meeting. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the grace of God. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised salvation and mercy to all who would look unto Him. Father, we pray tonight that by Your Spirit, Father God, sinners would be enabled to look unto Jesus Christ and to be saved by His almighty grace. Father, save souls tonight, we pray. Do a saving work in the hearts and lives of men, we ask. For we pray this in the Savior's name and for the Savior's glory. Amen.